From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called The Abominations of Apostasy, part of this series in the Book of Judges. Chapters 17 through 21 are some of the most unpleasant passages in all of the Bible. The key to the conditions described here may be found in chapter 17 and verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Dr. Cairns has been pointing out clear parallels to our own time, for the awful conditions of the times of the judges were brought about by spiritual apostasy. The causes of apostasy include, as they did then, the rejection of the law of God, followed by the installation of man as the sole authority of what is right or wrong. The course of apostasy leads inevitably downward, from religious abominations to total idolatry. Then idolatry leads to unspeakable social abominations, including immorality, violence, and offending the guilty. Apostasy always brings with it the curse of God. But the cure for apostasy is the same now as it was then. Men of God, raised up to declare the truth of God, just as the judges were. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. Before he comes, please enjoy this selection from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 25. Do as thou hast said. God's promises were never meant to be thrown aside as waste paper. He intended that they should be used. God's gold is not miser's money, but is minted to be traded with. Nothing pleases our Lord better than to see his promises put in circulation. He loves to see his children bring them up to him and say, Lord, do as thou hast said. We glorify God when we plead his promises. Do you think that God will be any the poorer for giving you the riches he has promised? Do you dream he'll be any the less holy for giving holiness to you? Do you imagine he will be any the less pure for washing you from your sins? He has said, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Faith lays hold upon the promise of pardon, and it does not delay, saying, This is a precious promise. I wonder if it be true. But it goes straight to the throne with it and pleads, Lord, here is the promise. Do as thou hast said. Our Lord replies, Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. When a Christian grasps a promise, if he does not take it to God, he dishonors him. But when he hastens to the throne of grace and cries, Lord, I have nothing to recommend me but this, thou hast said it, then his desire shall be granted. Our heavenly banker delights to cash his own notes. Never let the promise rust. Draw the word of promise out of its scabbard and use it with holy violence. Think not that God will be troubled by your importunately reminding him of his promises. He loves to hear the loud outcries of needy souls. It is his delight to bestow favors. He is more ready to hear than you are to ask. The sun is not weary of shining, nor the fountain of flowing. It is God's nature to keep his promises. Therefore, go at once to the throne with, Do as thou hast said.
As the bridegroom to his chosen, as the king unto his realm, as the keeper to the castle, as the pilot to the helm, as the captain to his soldiers, as the shepherd
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 1-800-236-2965. Be sure to request your copy of The Lord's Supper today.
You'd think this was tomorrow morning's newspaper you're reading at the end of Judges. Widespread violence. The Danites were violent against Micah. The men of Gibeah were violent against the concubine. The Levite was violent in dismembering the dead body. The Israelites were violent in wantonly slaughtering many of the tribe of Benjamin, then the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and then stealing the daughters of Shiloh. This is a violent society, and I want to tell you the reason is it's an abomination of apostasy. We are witnessing the course of apostasy. Don't let us think all these things are simply happening by chance or by accident, or there's something because some political structure or some social structure or some school structure or educational establishment is out of control. Those are not the real issue. The real issue is apostasy. When you get an attitude, if you want it, take it. The personal pleasure is the only criterion. Men do that which is right in their own eyes. You're dealing with the course of apostasy. Quick word about the curse of apostasy. This is at the end of the book of Judges, but remember what I said. It actually recounts events at the beginning of the period. This was just the beginning. Can you see that house of idols? The graven and molten images. Can you see that dead body of an abused woman lying in the street and then cut up into bits? That was just the beginning. That was just the child's picnic at the start. It was going to get worse. Do you notice in these final chapters of the book of Judges, there's no Baal worship? That had not yet come in. Baal worship was the direct result of what we're reading here. Now, Baal worship in itself does not convey a lot to you and me in this day and age. But if you were to study anything of the practices of those ancient heathen religions, Baal worship speaks of the vilest stream of filth, wickedness, ungodliness, all tied into the name of religion. Apostasy has the curse of making bad things even worse. And the only thing it can lead to is the judgment of God. That's its curse. Is there a cure? Well, thank God there was then and there is now. And I'm very glad to point out that the cure was not politicians. I'm not saying a politician can do no good. Most of them do no good, mind you, but that's not to say that a politician can't do any good. If they were less interested in securing their return at the next election and were willing to do what was right for the sake of it and let things fall where they will, they'd be a lot better off, and so would we. But politicians are not the answer. It's always easy to fob it off onto Washington, or if you're in Britain, onto Westminster. That's always the easy way. It's always them. Put it in them. It's not God's answer. I dare say that no lasting movement for good has ever been done if it started among politicians or in any political movement. Political movements have grown for good out of other movements. But that's not the answer. And I'll tell you something else that's not the answer is silken tongue clerics. These self-important, so-called holy men, the John Pauls, who are more actors than anything else, who kiss the ground and curse it every time they come. If that comes as a shock to you, if you're a visitor here, let me tell you, don't blame me for telling the truth. If God on earth, which is what the Pope claims to be, blesses a country, it should be blessed. Right? Surely it should be blessed. Just about every country that the Pope has ever blessed has suffered curse, disaster, and catastrophe. As Dr. Verdon was glad to point out to me last night, when the president of USC welcomed the Pope to the university there and declared that his university was going to be the ecumenical center of the South and all the rest of this, he was on his way out from them. He's going to find you don't get much of a blessing. The funny side was, the lighthearted side was, the manager of the Detroit Tigers got blessed by the Pope, and his team did. He said, we won the next game, and then we started to lose. He said, so it shows you even the Pope's blessing doesn't last for very long. Sparky Anderson knew a wee bit. Silken tongue clerics. These unctuous rascals that are in a job. A wicked, nefarious job. Destroying the bulwarks of biblical Christianity. Of attacking the truth of the gospel. Satanic agents to lead men to hell without a hope or a ray of gospel light. I want to tell you, we need delivered from silken tongue clerics. We need delivered from the tele-evangelists who are more Hollywood than heaven about them. I'll tell you, God's answer is today what it was then. Judges. Judges. Men who would set again the standard of the Word of God. Men who will call not only the nation generally, but their people in particular, individual lives, and from individuals to communities, call them to the standard of God's Word. To reestablish the great truth that can never be overthrown, whatever men say, think, or do, of the sovereignty of God. That the Word of God is our norm. That the gospel of God alone is our salvation. That's the need for the day. While men do that which is right in their own eyes and reject God's law and God's gospel, abomination leading to judgment can be the only result. May God raise us up spiritual judges. Man, what it would do to America to have a Martin Luther today. What it would do to have a Jonathan Edwards. How would England do to have a John Wesley? God knows we're sadly in need of them. Judges. not only spiritual judges, temporal ones too. But nice to see men of God put on the bench. But nice to see men of God put where they can start to enact some laws that are right. Remember the old book says, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. Men and women, that's our standard. But you know, we've got to start where we can. You can't start in Washington. You can't even start in Columbia. You can't even start in Greenville City or County Council. But I'll tell you where you can start. You can start with you. We can start in this church. To the law and to the testimony. I wonder, are you, even as a Christian, wonder, are you in the place tonight of rationalizing everything? The Bible is only allowed to say what you want it to say. You're blocking out so much of this word from your mind. You're refusing to face up to so much of this word in your life. It's tragically true that the godliest of people mostly get some taint of the apostasy in the midst of which they walk. We must start where we can, and by the grace of God, get back to this book and to the God of this book. Cease doing that which is right in our own eyes, and start to do that which is right in the eyes of our God. You'll not be saved by doing what is right. You'll be saved because Christ died and rose again. And if you receive him by faith, you'll be saved. But once you're saved, you ought to do that which is right. May God give us grace so to do in this age where we're seeing the abominations of apostasy. And may he raise us up as some witness, some judge. Remember, some of the judges we saw were puny little men in the eyes of the world. Some of them had very few talents and very little power, but God used them. Let's ask the Lord to do that for us. The great thing about being in the work of God, you even look out across a small group like this. Look at some of the young fellows sitting here. It's not a wonderful thing that there's not one of us tonight could look across even this group and say there's no hope, because there are people here that God could take and fill with his Spirit and raise up and sweep the state and the nation for God. He's done it before. He can do it again. That is the cure for the abominations of apostasy. May God make us part of the answer and not part of the problem. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it upon our hearts. Lord, produce fruit for its preaching. After the feeble voice of man is silent, Lord, speak on to each and every soul. God, grant that this night thou wilt start a work in every soul here. Save the lost. Restore the backslidden. Revive the people of God. Lord, make us a peculiar people in this evil age. Oh, Lord, may we have the peculiarity of holiness, of doing that which is right in the Lord's eyes, no matter what men think or say. We do pray, our God, that thou wilt start to deal in grace Oh, we lift a cry to thee that thou wilt raise up a voice for God in this evil day. Lord, deal with the apostasy which is so rampant. And oh, we pray that thou wilt bring great honor to Christ, great revival to his church, great blessing to the nation, even saving souls and driving back the forces of sin and of darkness. Lord, answer prayer. Let us live in the power of the Spirit and experience something of the mighty ability of God through his Spirit, working in his people, to do a work that will stand despite the wickedness and profanity of the day in which we live. Hear our prayer, shield our families, keep our hearts, and direct our steps. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.